The Woman at 46 Heath Street, written by Leslie Sanderson and read by Zara Rahn.
Prologue. The answer to my question of how to carry out the perfect revenge was to be found in the library, within the pages of none other than a thick medical textbook, would you believe, in the reference section. Not to be taken away. I had no intention of absconding with the book, only with the information inside, which I pored over, squirrelling the contents away in my memory. After many hours of research, I found the perfect answer. The perfect answer for perfect revenge. Revenge for tainting the house that I once loved. Revenge for robbing me of the best friend I ever had. Such wicked things have taken place within the walls of my home and can never be undone. Oh yes, it was the perfect answer. I laughed out loud in the middle of the fusty old reading room, causing an inebriated man with tattered clothes and a dubious smell to rouse from his slumber and stare at me with bleary eyes before returning his head to the desk. The solution had been in front of me all the time, within view of my kitchen window, in fact, and it required no alteration of my daily routine or behaviour that might arouse suspicion. Everything I needed was out there on Hampstead Heath, that magnificent space that lay behind my house in Heath Street, giving a stunning view that could be seen from any north-facing window. All I needed to do was to go and collect it, and then exact revenge. Chapter 1. Ella, 2018. Tap, tap, tap. My pace quickens, as it always does when I get to the end of the lane and turn the corner into Heath Street, this winding, terraced street tucked away in front of Hampstead Heath. Trees rustle in the late autumn breeze. My mood is a muddle of feelings, joy at returning home, sadness at the reminder that Nancy is no longer waiting for me upstairs. Only a year ago I'd turn this corner to see her pale face at the window, watching out for me. Regardless of what the will said, she wanted me to stay here. She told me so, her bird-like hand squeezing mine. Surprisingly strong. I steady myself at the gatepost and look at the dove-white front of my house and the sash windows reflecting the autumn sunlight. Arriving home is the best part of any trip away. The door gives its familiar creak, and I breathe a sigh of relief as I press my back against its cold wood, my heart pulsing in time with the kitchen clock, the only sound in the still room. I'm home. Light fills the hall, and I pause for a moment to reorientate myself. Sun trickles through the stained glass windows surrounding the front door, catching the warm red of the rich carpet which covers the hall and sweeps up the spiral staircase. I mouth, "Hello," to the painting of Nancy, which hangs in the hallway in a gilded wooden frame, as I always do, and slip off my coat. I was right to come back early. The strain of being away for the past couple of days evaporates, and I relish the knowledge that Chris will be at work for a good few hours yet, giving me much-needed time to settle. I pick up the post from the mat and drop it onto the large wooden table, the centrepiece of the old-fashioned country-style kitchen, which has pots and pans hanging above the kitchen sink, before running around the house and opening the windows, letting fresh air blow away the closed-up atmosphere. The flowers I always have on the kitchen table in Nancy's favourite vase are no longer fresh. Again, I feel a pang of guilt, but I've only been gone 2 days and the spa weekend was a treat from Chris, so I couldn't say no, could I? I'd smiled and hugged him, but really, I'm happiest in this house. Our house. It still feels unreal that I finally have somewhere to call home. Chris didn't reply to any of my messages yesterday, and I've heard nothing from him today. He must be busy. Once he gets engrossed in his woodwork, he forgets everything and time gets lost.